Usually, when I start to prepare to preach, I start with the passage, the next passage. We're going through Matthew on Sunday mornings and Exodus on Sunday nights. And so I look at the next passage and think about, you know, how to interpret that passage, how to understand it, how it applies, and those kinds of things. But this week, when I began to study for Father's Day, the first thing I wrote down was, what should imperfect parents do? And, I started thinking about how many different kinds of parents there are. And when I started thinking about how many different kinds of parents there are, all week the song that's been going through my mind is the one that I heard when I was a child that went sort of like, this kid, that kid, kids that climb on rocks, that kid, the other kid, even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. That's right, even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. And the song was all about all different kind of kids, no matter what they are, they all love hot dogs. And the reason I thought about that was because there's all different kinds of parents. All different kinds of parents. But one thing that we all have in common is that we're all imperfect in our parenting. And so I wanted to talk about that. And kind of to start off, I was wondering about parents that we read about in Scripture. I mean, are there any parents that stand out of what you read in Scripture? Stand out in whatever way? You know, I was thinking, what parents never had to worry about peer pressure with their kids? Who? Well, Mary and Joseph didn't with the first one. That's a good one. But what parents never had to worry about peer pressure with at all? Adam and Eve. That's right. That's what I was thinking about. Adam and Eve. There wasn't any peers to have pressure with them. So they didn't have to worry about that at all. What about... Do what? But, what about Abraham? Abraham had problems trusting God. Lied about his wife to say that she was his sister because he was afraid that the leaders in the land would take his life. Did that have any impact on his family? I mean, his son Isaac did the same thing. What about Jacob? What kind of parent was he? Wouldn't you say a busy one? Yeah, he had lots of kids. 12 sons and 2 daughters. Yeah, he was a busy one. I was thinking, when I think about Jacob's parenting, what I always think about is he was a partial parent. He was a whole lot more concerned about one child or 2 children than he was the others. And we see what kind of results that had. Do you have any other parents in the Bible that stand out that for whatever reason? Moses' parents. And what were their names? Jochebed and... It sounds like a missile. Amram. Jochebed and Amram were Moses' parents, right? They stood out. Somebody else said Hannah. And Hannah was one who promised to dedicate her son to the Lord before he was born. And whose son was Hannah's? Samuel. Very good. Well, here, think about this statement here for a minute. The righteous man leads a blameless life, and blessed are his children after him. You know, there are statements in Scripture that we have read and believed, and we still believe, but sometimes it seems like maybe things just haven't worked out like we expected them to work out. And I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about parenting and about how imperfect parents should parent and what we can do as imperfect parents. And one of the things that I'm going to do as I teach this morning, there's a kind of an account of a fellow by the name of Mitch, a man who was a surgeon. And some of the issues that he had, that's going to factor into what we're going to study this morning. We're also going to read from Judges 13 in a few minutes, so if you want to turn in your Bibles to Judges 13, you can do that. But these verses, like what are on the screen, these are the kind of things that we have claimed verses like this for our children, even though afterwards what we've seen our children do is not consistent with what we hoped for them. Hundreds of committed Christians have teenagers and adult children who have all different kind of difficulties. Difficulties with drugs and rebellion and alcoholism, divorce, psychological disorders, immorality, all kinds of things. And a lot of times when these kind of things happen, parents ask, what did we do wrong? What did we do wrong to cause these kinds of decisions in our children? Sometimes parents think they're no longer qualified for parenting or for other things because of the actions of their children. But we need to remember that as children mature, they make their own decisions. And some of those decisions are disastrous, but our children too are sinners. And they make bad choices because they're sinful. And they need a close relationship with God to help them make the right decisions. As I mentioned a while ago, I was going to tell you about Mitch, who was a surgeon. He was a successful man. He was a brilliant surgeon. And he had learned that when he didn't understand something he was encountering, he should consult with others in order to get information. But he had asked for help with parenting from all different kinds of sources, and he was about to run out of ideas. He was a committed Christian, and he knew the need for a healthy home life. His colleagues and patients held him in high esteem, but every day when he came home, all he got was the opposite of that from his own family. And at one point, in his own words, he said he was close to admitting defeat and letting the patients die. You know, there are other parents that are kind of like the opposite of Mitch. These are parents who have a certain child-rearing technique, and they swear by their technique that it is tried and true, and they are confident that their method is going to produce exactly the kind of children that everyone expects and everyone wants to have. But these kind of parents don't give much help for parents like Mitch. When they share their recipes for success with someone like Mitch, Mitch and others like him go try these things and find that they don't work for them either. And so one of the things that we might consider is it a question of technique? And when you look through Scripture, there's not a lot of specific instruction on how to guarantee well-behaved children at the end of their maturing years. In fact, most parents in the Bible probably had more success, more failure than success. Don't want to get that one backwards. Most parents, as we read through Scripture, had more failures than successes. Even when we look at examples of some of the godliest people in Scripture, we don't necessarily find any definite recipes for how to raise children. And so the question is not how much parents influence their children's development for good or bad, but the question is, how are kids influenced by their parents? I mean, when we see parent children that are grown up and well-behaved, can we assume that their parents figured out how to do it and they did it right? And if that's the case, then everybody else should be able to ask them, how did you do it? And okay, we'll do it the same way so that we're guaranteed good results. I'm surprised half of you are not laughing at that thought. Let's consider what the Scripture says in Judges 13. Look with me here. We're going to read through about half of this chapter or so, maybe not, maybe a little more than half. But Judges 13 says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.'" What does Manoah want? He wants to know what? He wants to know how to raise this special child that God is giving them. Exactly. He wants to know how to raise them. Verse 9, God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife, and when he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life? And his work." In other words, how should we raise him? How should we train him? What should we teach him in order to prepare him? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Is that what Manoah was hoping to hear? He wanted to know what's the secret to raising this special child, and he didn't get any instruction about how to do that. But before we continue, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning, our desire is to understand what your word teaches us about how parents should live. Father, help us to understand what you are saying to us through the many parts of your word, and give us a heart to seek you and trust you with our children, even when things are difficult in our lives in relation to our families. But help us learn to trust you and to have a heart that seeks you, so that we might be the people that you want us to be. We just pray that you would speak to us from your word, and that you would challenge us by your spirit and help us be obedient to what you've called us to do. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This passage opens by describing a difficult time in Israel. They've been overtaken by the Philistines. And Manoah finds out they're going to have a child who's going to deliver Israel. And he's probably thinking something like, what if the Philistines find out? What's going to happen to us then? You know, there's a lot of things that could be concerning to Manoah. And he wanted to make sure that as they raised this child in this trying environment, that they had the best instructions to do everything in the best way possible. But, you know, he was asking, how in the world am I supposed to raise a child in this kind of situation? Doesn't God know what he's asking? And one of the things that I studied this week is it seems that one of God's favorite methods for introducing disruption, doubt, and confusion into people's lives is through their children. Wow, no amens on that one. I was kind of expecting one. You know, I'm not one of those preachers that says amen every 2 minutes, because I always think if you say something worthy of an amen, you'll get it without asking for it. But I really expected someone to respond to that one. But see, here's the thing. We've already made this point, but God never gave Manoah exact instructions on how he was supposed to raise his son. It was as if God wanted to keep him in confusion. And we might ask, why? Well, one writer that I agree with said, confused parents make the best kind. Because it's often parents that don't have any idea what to do with their children. And when we don't have any idea what to do in life, where do we turn? We turn to the Lord. And sometimes in parenting, it's one of the greatest opportunities that we have to learn to trust the Lord, because we don't understand how we can do anything better than what we're doing, or anything to accomplish what we hope to accomplish. And so it leads us to trust the Lord. One of the things here is when the rules break down, instead of being open to what God wants to teach them, sometimes confused parents make two different mistakes. One of the mistakes they make is they look for someone else who's going to teach their children to do what's right. Some look to churches and youth groups to make an impact on their children because they're having trouble making the impact they want to have. Some look to Christian schools in order to make the impact on their children that they need to have. They look for all different kind of things. But God has desired parenting in such a way that nothing really helps clear up the confusion very long. Because even parents that are involved in good churches with good youth groups or Christian schools, they get confused just like Mitch was confused. No parents really have the answer how to get their kids to obey or to love or to follow God. Some kids learn these things and some kids never do. Sometimes parents certainly can do things that help, but we can't guarantee a good result. And then sometimes parents end up with a second kind of response when they struggle. And the second kind of response is to become passive. They give up. They figure it's better to do nothing than to do something wrong. This is kind of the way Manoah eventually became in the life of Samson. So let's consider this idea that confusion might be God's best. In other words, not knowing what we should do may be God's plan for us where we are. And what the point is here is that God is more concerned with the maturity level of parents than children. God wants to do something in the lives of parents while we struggle to do what's best with children. God's plan is for us. And God wants to generate in parents a single-minded dependence on Him. In fact, if you read through Scripture to find what it does say about how parents can impact their children, repeatedly through Scripture, it mentions parents having the right fear of the Lord, the right reverence for God, will impact their families. For example, listen to Psalm 78, 5-7. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Or listen to Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Or Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I think the teaching in these passages seems pretty clear that the greatest opportunity we have in impacting our children relates to our own relationship with God. When our relationship with God is what it needs to be, we have the greatest opportunity to influence our children to have lives that honor the Lord. And it's not guaranteed, but it seems to be the greatest thing that we can do. The father I was describing earlier, Mitch, he came to a startling revelation. He said, I'm starting to understand at least part of the reason that God has given me the children that he has. They're tough kids. But God knew I needed tough kids. Before they came along, I thought I had it made. In regular surgeon style, I had everything sewn up. So much so that I did not practically need God. But when my kids began to bleed, in a manner of speaking, I wanted to work to sew them up too, but nothing I did worked. It was the first time that my mind and my skills were not enough. Now, I still have no idea how my kids will turn out, he said, but I've begun to trust the Lord for strength and wisdom to love these kids in ways I never knew possible. My confusion drove me to the Lord. And that experience has been the richest experience I've ever known. Something has really shifted inside. I can say that I thank God for the children He has given me. This is the idea that we're trying to describe, is that God has a plan in us as parents because of the challenges that our children present to us. God's plan primarily is that we become what we need to be, and when we do, we have the greatest potential for impacting our children in the right way. The parent who has shifted his dependence to the Lord measures parental effectiveness not by how the kids are doing, but by how he himself is doing, so that he seeks the Lord in the middle of the confusion. And even when nothing seems to work, he stays involved with his kids using his best judgment because his hope is in the Lord. Not in himself, not in his methods, not in what he can do, but his hope is in the Lord. And here toward the end of my study this morning, I just want to mention several points that might be helpful, several passages of Scripture. If you're struggling with raising kids, realize, first of all, that you are not alone. Other parents also struggle, but more than that, realize that the Lord is the one who is with you. Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Sometimes there's help in trusted friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A close friend sometimes can be a very good help. Another aspect of this is that we should hold our children accountable for their actions. God does. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right." And Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." We should always love our children. We should be there for them, but not always necessarily come to their rescue. We need to learn to wait and pray and trust God. Romans 5:3-5 says not only that, And he's referring back to the fact that we have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we need to remember that ultimately, God is the one who is in control. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I remember talking to a lady when I was a younger person who was very troubled a lot of the times. And I brought up this verse. And she said, I just don't believe that. I think I would struggle greatly if I could not believe the Word of God that teaches that God causes all things. Some things, y'all awake? God causes some things to work together for good. All things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so, as we prepare for our invitation, in conclusion, I want you to remember something. God's children rebelled too. Isaiah chapter 1 says, hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. There's only been one perfect father ever. And He is the one who gives us strength and wisdom and direction and encouragement. And if our walk with Him is not what it needs to be, our struggle with our children may be overwhelming. But walking in the strength that God supplies, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can trust God even in the confusion of trying to raise children. Will you stand, please?